Radio, entity 0212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Hey everybody, how you doing today? This is Chris Jordan here at the Talking Sound Podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired. Coming at you live from the throbbing heart of rock and roll that is Austin, Texas. Today on the phone from Houston, Texas, we have a very, very good and long friend of mine, Mr. Alan Cunningham. He is an audio engineer there at Double J Studios. He's also a keyboardist and musician with Generation Landslide. Alan, how are you doing today?
I'm making it.
Fantastic. That's all that it takes. As long as you can make it to tomorrow, there's a gig at some point.
Yeah, this is very true.
It's funny. We have actually had a few false starts in this interview because we've both had phone calls or technical issues, something like that. So it's great whenever you have an additional tech on the line with you to be able to help you out with the problems with your own podcast. It's a great thing, yeah. Isn't it?
Well, you use the resources at hand.
That's right. That's right. Many is the time that I have tapped Alan Cunningham's brain for something. Alan is actually one of the people that taught me to actually the person that taught me to run live sound the way that I know how to run it now. Large format consoles, things like that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the things you got going on over at Double J right now, Alan?
Right now, let's see, I've got a very talented young man by the name of Aaron Whitman, and we're doing very big things with him, and right now I am currently just started last night remastering Nicole Lorraine's, one of her albums we had already done, but I didn't have some of the goodies that I have now.
Yep.
In operation, so... We went back and we gave it a listen, and we're like, nah, it doesn't measure up to the kind of quality that we've come to expect. And so, as of last night, I started remixing and remastering, a whole other album that we had already had in the can, or so we thought.
And isn't that always the way you get to listening to stuff, and especially, and I've always recommended to people, whenever you do a recording, like, give it about a good, if you can, a week. If you can wait, give it a good week, and then come back and listen to it with totally new ears.
Well, the thing is, it's been almost a year.
Yeah, it's been a while that I know that y'all have been working on that.
But as soon as we had... released it and realized that it wasn't where it needed to be, which was about the same time we released the second album, the Full Electric album, that's when we went back and we took a look and we're like, oh no, and started looking at the levels and things like that. And it's just, I'm not into heavy mastering. I don't think things need to be slammed. If you're mastering to the point where your dynamics just disappear, you're doing it wrong.
Well, and that is one of the things that I'd like to talk with you about today, Alan, because like we were saying a minute ago, you've actually come back to some of the musician side of yourself and playing and things like that, and you've actually sent me a few tracks over the last year or so that you've done. And some of them, man, are just amazing because you're literally playing everything. You're singing everything and you're mixing and mastering it. And some of it sounds really great. And one of them that I want to talk with you about is this one right here. You ready for it?
Sure, go ahead.
All right.
He came on a summer's day, bringing gifts from far away, but he made it clear stay. No harbor was his home. She hears him say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be.
Such a fine girl.
But my life, my love, my lady is the sea. Yeah, Brandy used to watch his eyes as he told his sailor stories. She could
And that is just a, it's a great track to begin with, in its original version, but what you've done with it and the new energy that you've given it is really amazing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the process that you had going on in that song?
Well, first, let me say that all rights are reserved to their respective owners of the music, since everything that you've got from me is a cover version. I must say that, all of the rights belong to their respective publishing companies.
That's right. These are just tracks that you've done for your own fun and scratch material, things like that, testing gear, all that kind of stuff. But like I said, even though you've done them just for fun, it really comes across as a great mix, a great auditory rendition of what the mix sounds like originally. So, Give us a little bit about what you did to prep those tracks.
Well, I mean, as far as the prepping of the track, you know, I try and keep things in an analog mind frame. I mean, granted, yeah, okay, I'm using the latest technology and all that other stuff, great. But the thing is, it is, you know, the technology is great, but if you don't apply it, you know, I came up in a different kind of, infrastructure. You know, when I first started learning to record, it was tape. It was analog consoles, flying faders, things like that. You know, everything was pretty much, you know, you're routing out to outboard effects and things like that. You know, I approach even a digital format like an analog format. So I try and keep this, you know, just absolute bare essentials.
Yeah.
Compression and EQ, things like that. If it doesn't need something, you know, I try and let the natural sound of the instrument come through. You know, granted, the keyboards, they're all done with a Yamaha motif, with a Zolder motif.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is live instrument. The guitar is actually direct into the console. I'm using a Yamaha 1V96i as the front end. But,
okay.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple other things. You know, I've got a DBX 160 in line on the input channel of that. The drums are, you know, naturally mic'd, you know, close mic drums, a small diaphragm overhead, that sort of thing. Top and bottom of the snare drum, bottom of the snare phases flipped. But for the most part, you know, I just try and... The goal of a sound engineer is not to be, you don't want to make it soundy. The whole idea is what you want to do is you want to be as transparent as possible. And I think I mentioned that to you years ago when we were talking about live sound. You know, your goal is not to color as much as... take away the nasty.
Yes.
You know, if it's something that doesn't sound right, well, chances are something's not right.
Yeah, yeah. You may want to check into that.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's you know, you're leaving holes for other things in a mix. You know, you've got to be decisive. You've got to carve faces. It's like everything should dovetail together. Is the way it should work.
Yeah.
It's like in wood.
Yeah, very, very much so. That's a great analogy. But as far as being an audio engineer, the analogy I always give people is that of a head chef, where it's, you know, the only job of a head chef is to make sure that what's going out to the people outside looks right, tastes right, is plated right, and is consistent all the time.
True. You know, also like a chef, though, and that's an incredible analogy, because it is a lot like chefing, because what you're doing is you're taking various ingredients, you know, and any moron could throw everything in a pot, you know.
Yeah.
And it could come out kind of like sneakers in a dryer. I mean, you know, the one great thing about non-linear editing at this point is you can time-align things. You know, I'm not the greatest musician in the world. Those recordings make me sound phenomenal. But you know, I make mistakes just like everybody else. So I have to go back, and there's a little dressing I have to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, you know, sometimes I'm not the greatest bass player, and my bass will slide out of rhythm, so I'll have to grab a note and just suck it back into place on the grid. I don't quantize. If I do it, I do it manually. You know, to me, I'm not going to allow the machine to do something for me.
Well,
I'm gonna make it do it itself.
And see that's what I appreciate. As you know, I've also been a video editor in my time, and whenever I learned video editing, it was all deck to deck. It was manual editing. You had to go through. You didn't want to stretch that tape too much, so you better try and get your tracks. You better get your cuts and your things that you want in order as much as possible. And
yeah, that's one thing that non-linear editing has done for us, is it's given us the ability to do some things that physically we could never do before.
Oh, the capabilities of punch recording now are phenomenal. It's amazing to me.
You know, I mean, and you know, people have been running Pro Tools since the early 90s.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I mean, for me though, and you've been in the studio with me. We've done a couple pieces together, things like that. And you know, I'm very much a commit to the mix type person. Probably I might give it a take or two getting into it, but most of the time it's going to be all right. Let's rewind that tape and blank it, rewind it, and we'll take that again. And
right,
it's
the other thing that you tend to do on your recordings is like John Simon, who worked with the band. You tend to commit the effects to the track.
I do.
Which I think is really cool. But the thing is, you know, what you see is what you get.